The disruption to Gulf shipping is now measurable, and for the tea trade, timing is the issue. Traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, a corridor that typically handles more than 120 vessel transits per day, fell to single digits at the peak of disruption in April. As May begins, flow remains uneven, with carriers suspending or rerouting services. For tea, that shift moves quickly from logistics into operations. The global tea trade depends on cadence. Auction cycles in Colombo, Mombasa, and North India feed directly into shipping schedules, which then determine blending and re-export timelines. When that cadence breaks, the system slows. At the center of that system is the Dubai Multi-Commodity Center, one of the world's most important tea aggregation and blending hubs. Roughly 150 to 200 million kilos of tea move through Dubai each year, and most of that is re-exported. Bulk shipments from India, Sri Lanka, and East Africa are blended and packed and distributed to Europe, Central Asia, Russia, and the Middle East. It's an efficient system, but it depends on schedule integrity, and that's where the pressure is building. Shipping delays into Dubai are now extended by 2 to 3 weeks in some cases. Blenders are adjusting formulations based on available stock, having to stagger production runs and increase inventory buffers to compensate. The issue is not whether tea is moving, it's whether it's arriving on time. At the same time, instability in the Red Sea continues to extend global shipping timelines. Attacks on commercial vessels have forced many carriers to reroute away from the Suez Canal, adding 10 to 15 days to transit times via the Cape of Good Hope. Major container lines, including Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd, say schedule reliability has deteriorated as vessels reroute around high-risk zones, with longer transit times now forming the baseline. For tea shipments moving from India or East Africa, this creates a compounded delay, longer transit into Dubai, followed by tighter blending and re-export windows. Costs are rising as well. War risk insurance premiums have increased several fold for vessels transiting high-risk corridors, and freight volatility for tea remains elevated, translating into higher landed costs, particularly in bulk segments where margins are already tight. But for most operators, timing, not cost, is the immediate constraint. Blending hubs operate on throughput. Retail demand cycles are fixed. When shipments arrive late, the result is missed delivery windows, compressed margins, or delayed distribution. Against that backdrop, operators in Dubai are emphasizing continuity. Gary Winslade, Associate Director of Tea at DMCC, said, quote, "Despite current market uncertainty, the DMCC Tea Center's focus is on continuity. Demand remains steady and members are well stocked. Periods like these underscore the importance of diversified trade routes, strong commercial relationships, and operational agility," he said. That reference to inventory is important. Dubai entered this period with relatively strong stock positions, which are now helping absorb delays. At the same time, the DMCC Tea Center has expanded its teabagging capacity, an indication that demand for value addition processing remains strong. In effect, Dubai is functioning as a buffer. The broader issue is structural. The tea trade has long been optimized for efficiency, centralized blending, lean inventories, and predictable logistics. That model still works, but it's being repriced. Higher inventory levels mean higher working capital. Delays reduce re-export velocity. Smaller traders, especially those reliant on short-term financing, are more exposed than large multinational operators. At the same time, variability at origin is increasing. Weather patterns in India and Kenya are affecting supply consistency, adding pressure upstream that compounds at the blending stage. The response across the trade is measured. Inventory buffers are increasing and shipping schedules are being adjusted, and contracts are becoming more flexible. There is some movement towards origin-based packing for specific products, but it remains limited at this time. What's clear is that the structure of the trade is not changing, but the way it operates is. Dubai's role is not weakening, it's becoming more defined. It's no longer just a transit point, it's a coordination layer holding inventory, adjusting blends, and maintaining continuity across multiple markets. Operators like DP World have emphasized route diversification and integrated logistics as key to maintaining throughput under disruption, and that's exactly what we're seeing in the tea sector. Business Insight. 60 days into the conflict, the system is still functioning, but at a higher cost in terms of certainty. Longer transit times, higher insurance costs, and increased inventory requirements are now part of the operating environment. For tea companies, the takeaway is straightforward. Supply chains must be designed to absorb delay, not just minimize cost. And in that shift, hubs like Dubai are becoming more, not less, important. A refund rush is underway in U.S. trade. Importers and custom brokers have filed about 75,300 CAPE declarations covering more than 11.2 million individual import entries since U.S. Customs and Border Protection opened the first phase of its tariff refund system on April 20th. That figure is not 11 million companies, it's 11.2 million entry claims. But the scale is still extraordinary. CBP filings indicate more than 330,000 importers paid about $166 billion in IEPA duties across roughly 53 million entries. The rush follows the U.S. Supreme Court's February 20th ruling that the president lacked authority to impose sweeping tariffs under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Reuters reports that the first refunds could begin arriving around May 11th, but by late April, only 21% of affected entries had been accepted for duty removal, and only 3% had reached the refund stage. That means the money's not moving as quickly as the headlines suggest. Phase one applies only to certain unliquidated and recently liquidated entries. Sidley notes that CBP is excluding several categories from immediate processing, including reconciliation entries, drawback entries, and some USMCA duty deferred entries as entries tied to AD and CVD review. Valid refunds may take 60 to 90 days after CAPE acceptance, according to Sidley Austin. The legal risk remains unresolved. Abasto reports that the Court of International Trade entered a refund order on April 7th, but suspended immediate compliance, leaving room for further appeal. In plain English, it means that importers are filing now to preserve their claims, but the refund pipeline can still be slowed, narrowed, or contested in court. Most companies are already treating refunds as balance sheet events. General Motors expects a $500 million refund, while UPS said it collected about $5 billion in tariffs from customers and will issue refunds once the Treasury remits the funds. FedEx made a similar pledge. Business Insight. For tea, the refund story is not a consumer rebate story. Most refunds will flow first to the importer of record, the broker, the parcel carrier, and a larger corporate supply chain account. Some funds may reduce future wholesale costs, repair margins, or offset new tax exposure, but very little is likely to appear as a refund on a consumer's tin of tea. The practical advice for tea companies is simple. Document the entries, file correctly, preserve claims, and do not promise retail price relief until the cash is in hand. In two official statements issued by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in the United States this week, China's ambassador used tea as a cultural and economic bridge, emphasizing its role in fostering dialogue, trade, and mutual understanding between the two countries. The language is deliberate. Tea is framed not only as heritage, but also as a living channel for cooperation at a time when broader trade relationships remain strained. The ambassador highlighted tea's 2,000-year history, its role in global exchange, and its continued relevance in modern commerce. That's not new. What is notable is the timing. These remarks come amid escalating tariffs, regulatory friction, and supply chain realignment between the U.S. and China, conditions that have already pushed cumulative U.S. tariffs on Chinese tea at one point above 100%. So why tea and why now? Because tea is one of the few categories in which U.S. and Chinese cultural diplomacy and commercial realities still intersect. Unlike rare earth elements, semiconductors, or EVs, tea carries symbolic weight without triggering immediate security concerns. It's soft power, but with hard trade implications. China is signaling openness, but the market is still signaling more than a share of caution. U.S. importers are not expanding their exposure to Chinese origin tea at scale right now. Instead, they are diversifying into India, Sri Lanka, and Kenya, and increasingly into African origin specialty teas that may benefit from new zero tariff access to China. So the ambassador's remarks should be read less as a market shift and more as positioning consistent with China's newly adopted five-year plan to boost tea exports. Business insight. Diplomatic praise does not override the reality of tariffs. Until trade policy changes, Chinese tea remains structurally disadvantaged in the U.S. However, the signaling matters. If tensions ease, even marginally, tea could be one of the first categories to normalize. For now, importers should treat China as a selective high-value origin, not a volume play, while closely monitoring policy signals.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.